great.
And thank you. It was great to have Mark give that presentation before, because he provided a lot of really important background information. Some of this is repeated here, but just in brief, Neisseria gonorrhea, or GC, has evolved resistance to multiple classes of antibiotics over the past decades, most recently fluoroquinolones. And cephalosporins are the drug class that is recommended for treatment. CDC guidelines recommend 250 milligrams of ceftriaxone and 1 gram of azithromycin as dual therapy for gonorrhea. GC isolates with decreased susceptibility, indeed treatment failures, to cephalosporins have been reported from Asia and in recent years from Europe. There are no established values for minimum inhibitory concentrations, or MIC, of cephalosporins which correspond to resistance. However, there are breakpoints defined for what constitutes a susceptible and a decreased susceptibility strain. And I will show you the Clinical Laboratory Standards Institute guidelines in a moment. All of this is happening at a time that nucleic acid amplification tests are supplanting culture as the predominant diagnostic test. So we're actually having less and less of this sort of antimicrobial resistance data available to us at the very time that we need it most. This slide shows the Clinical and Laboratory Standards Institute, or CLSI, breakpoints for minimum inhibitory concentrations. The CLSI is a international body that produces consensus guidelines for a variety of things, including the antibiotic susceptibility breakpoints for various pathogens. And for gonorrhea, they specify MIC values of less than or equal to 0.250 micrograms per ml for both ceftriaxone and cefixime as susceptible, and anything above that as decreased susceptibility. Notice that they don't have values for intermediate or resistant levels. And this is a little bit different from the GISP alert values. More background is that in New York City, electronic clinical lab reporting has been mandated since 2006, and that was mandated through local health code. Currently, about 100 different clinical laboratories report to the Department of Health in New York City. In 2008, also through revision of local health code, New York City mandated reporting of GC antibiotic susceptibility test, or AST, results. GC rates are increasing in New York City currently. In 2011, there were 13,644 cases of GC reported. The increases are predominantly among adolescent and young men of color and among adolescent women of color. Approximately 25%, a little less than 25% actually, of the GC that is diagnosed and reported to the City Department of Health is diagnosed in our own city-run STD clinics. So the vast majority of gonorrhea is being diagnosed in non-STD clinic settings. The New York City Department of Health Fort Greene Clinic is one of the nine clinics we run in the city. The Fort Greene Clinic is a GISP site and contributes isolates to the national GISP program that Mark just described. However, mandating AST reporting across the city provides something a little bit different, which is population-based measures of GC AST. This is the language that we used in our health code. I provide it in the hopes that others might find it useful, and I'll just read it quickly. A clinical laboratory shall report to the department the antibiotic susceptibility testing results for bacterial diseases listed under subdivision A of section 11.03 of this code. This requirement includes traditional broth, agar, and newer automated methods of antibiotic susceptibility testing, as well as molecular-based methods that assay for molecular determinants of antibiotic resistance. I want to point out two things here. One is the reference to subdivision A of section 11.03. That is actually a list of several other bacterial diseases that are also now mandated for AST reporting. And when we set out to make GC AST reporting part of the health code, we learned to our surprise that in immediate parallel to what we were doing, our Bureau of Communicable Diseases was seeking to get AST results for some of their pathogens, for example, strep pneumo and actually staph aureus. they made methicillin-resistant Staph aureus reportable. So we joined forces, and this language alludes to this list, which has GC on it, but also some other bacterial pathogens. And the other thing to point out about this health code language is that it allows for future methods. If we do have a molecular-based assay for detecting antimicrobial resistance in GC, the health code language will already apply to that, and that will become reportable by law in New York City. This is just to illustrate the point I made about the decline in culture results at the very time that we're having the emergence of resistance. You can just see in red the number of GC tests that are culture that are reported to the New York City Department of Health over time from 2001 through 2011. So what we did here was we analyzed reports of GC isolates with AST results that were reported to the City Health Department between 2010 and 2011. We looked at submitting laboratory, data specimen collection, patient sex, antibiotic tested, AST methods, and units of measurement. And we defined, for the purposes of this analysis, decreased susceptibility to cephalosporins as for ceftriaxone, an MIC of greater than or equal to 0.125 micrograms per ml, and for cefixime, 0.250 micrograms per ml. These do correspond to the GISP alert values, but are a little different from what I showed you for CLSI. We then examined the MIC distribution among GC isolates with AST results reported in micrograms per ml in those 2 years. This slide shows the number of laboratories that were reporting GC culture results to us and the specifics of whether or not they performed GC AST. So the first column shows that there were 60 labs reporting positive GC cultures to the New York City Department of Health in 2011. But of those 60 labs, only 19 reported GC AST. Those 19 labs were made up of one lab that reported the vast majority, our public health lab, which serves really only serves to do gonorrhea culture for our 9 STD clinics, reported 89% of the isolates with GC AST reported. So they really dominated that. The remaining 11% came from 18 other labs reporting GC AST from across the city. And they reported between 1 and 33 isolates each. Of those 19 labs that reported GC AST, 14 reported GC AST including cephalosporins. And 12 reported GC AST for cephalosporins in minimum inhibitory concentrations in micrograms per ml. And that's the group that we looked at here. This shows the distribution of MICs among the Neisseria gonorrhea isolates with AST results to ceftriaxone. And you can see that the vast majority have MICs in the much lower range, less than 0.03 micrograms per ml. But in the upper ranges, remember our cut point here of interest was 0.125 micrograms per ml. In those 2 years, there were a total of 29 isolates that exceeded that for ceftriaxone. Overall, 3% of the isolates in 2010 and 0.6% of the isolates in 2011 exceeded that breakpoint of 0.125 and were defined by us as decreased susceptibility. Those 29 isolates, there were 25 in 2010 and only 4 in 2011, were predominantly male. You can see that males contributed 24 of the 25 isolates in 2010 and 3 of the 4 isolates in 2011. This shows the distribution of MICs of cefixime among the GC AST results. And you can see that none of the isolates in, we only did, cefixime results were only reported for 2011. Because the only lab doing including cefixime in their AST panel is the public health lab, and they added that in 2011, so we don't have data here for 2010. But in 2011, none of the isolates exceeded the 0.250 microgram per ml breakpoint. There's some limitations to this analysis. First of all, the GC AST data are incomplete. We did a survey in the past couple of weeks of the labs that reported the highest volume of GC cultures to positive GC cultures to the department, And we asked them whether or not they do GC-AST, and we found that there were four labs performing GC-AST that were not reporting it. So that bumps the total number up to 23, and we don't have data from those four labs in this presentation. Also, this analysis is limited to GC-AST results from labs that measured MICs using microgram per ml units of measure and did not include reports for isolates that were tested by Kirby Bauer, where results are reported as zone diameters in millimeters. And that's because there are no zone diameter breakpoints that correspond to the 0.125 micrograms per ml of ceftriaxone, so we couldn't analyze those in the same manner. So in conclusion, numerous New York City labs perform GC culture and GC-AST. Most laboratories performing GC-AST include a cephalosporin in their testing panel. The majority of GC-AST reports come from a single lab serving the New York City STD clinic system, that's the New York City Public Health Lab, and there are relatively few reports of GC-AST results from other labs, between 1 and 33 per lab. And I think that this first point really highlights the importance of STD clinics as sentinel sites and the value of a public health lab in performing culture in a day and age when NATs are becoming the predominant tests, because we're getting our greatest insight into antimicrobial resistance patterns among GC from our public health lab and from our STD clinics. Isolates with reduced susceptibility to cephalosporins are still uncommon but are occurring. And I should say that in this year, we've had already four isolates reported to us that are reduced susceptibility, and one recent isolate with reduced susceptibility to azithromycin, ceftriaxone, and cefixime. By good chance, it was susceptible to Cipro. But they were much elevated MICs to those other three drugs. Males are overrepresented among isolates with elevated MICs. GC, that could be for several reasons. GC with reduced susceptibility may be more frequent among men who have sex with men, and that's probably the case. That's certainly where we saw fluoroquinolone resistance emerge. But there's also a bias in who gets cultured. MSM are more likely to be cultured due to a lack of, in many areas, and in New York City for sure, of laboratories that perform extragenital NATs. Implications for program. Cephalosporin resistance is emerging and will need attention from programs, there's no question. Surveillance for GC-AST is important, and local public health surveillance for GC-AST is feasible, as I hope we've demonstrated, although our data are dominated, as I mentioned, by our public health lab. Local public health data can be very, for GC-AST, can be very valuable to gauge the local need for and the timing for any response, and may be of particular benefit to jurisdictions where most gonorrhea is diagnosed in non-STD clinic settings. Thank you.
Any questions? Could you please use the microphone? Thanks.
Thank you. I was very impressed with both of the papers and the network, the previous one and this one, and the networks you're trying to establish to monitor AMR and Neisseria gonorrhea. It's just a technical question. How do you ensure that all the labs are using the same methodology and that they interpret the results in the same way? Do you have quality assurance program and so forth?
Thank you for that question. I think that quality assurance of the labs is a very important point, and we do not currently have a system in place. In that survey I mentioned that we performed just in the past couple of weeks, we asked for each antibiotic that labs perform GC-AST, what methodology they're using, whether E-test, disc diffusion, et cetera, and in what units they are reporting those results. And we have had some discussions about setting up QA. Probably our public health lab would be the hub for that, but I do think that's important. Thank you.
Julie, thank you for that great talk. Do you the male isolates you have, are they all urethral, number one? And number two, do you have isolates from men at different anatomic sites, like in urethra and a rectum together in the same person that you've got susceptibility results on?
Most of the isolates, the four isolates this year have all been urethral. And most of the isolates in the other years are, in the 2 years I present here, are also urethral. However, we have had rectal, and we had one notable isolate with that was reported to be resistant by the lab at high levels to ceftriaxone that was an eye isolate. We, unfortunately, that isolate could not be resuscitated. I'm sure there's a lab term for that, but it died before we could get it to the public health lab. And your second question, we do have, not so often, but we definitely have in the data for these 2 years, instances where a single individual contributed an isolate from an infection at two anatomic sites, so oral and anal, say. Yeah, we have those.
And what are you doing for, what's New York City recommendation for test of cure?
We have not yet issued provider guidelines. We plan to do that fairly immediately after we get back from the conference. We are probably going to put out, basically, in provider guidance, a definition of a presumed treatment failure or a possible or probable treatment failure, and would recommend bringing those people back in for retreatment. We're deliberating around the issue of whether or not there should be a test of cure routinely performed for MSM, but I don't think we're going to go there quite yet.
Thank you.